people that are faithful that we don't have to manipulate and wouldn't anyway. If I had to do that, I would quit the ministry tomorrow. Amen. I agree with Billy Graham when there was a lot of problems. It's okay to raise funds for needs, and Christians are generous giving people. But manipulating people is very wrong. It is not biblical. Amen. We're to lay in store what we're going to give before we even get to God's house. We're to already prepare to give. Amen. Not something that happens after we get there. Amen. It's something that happens in our heart when we make covenant commitments with God and we keep those commitments. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Your pocketbook tells a lot about your values. Let me see your checkbook and I will tell you what your values are. Thank you. I just thought I'd run that by you. I'm not asking you to let me see. Amen. You see mine, they'll tell what my values are too. Our checkbooks, our wallets determine. Amen. Amen. What you work for, what you spend on, what you don't spend on. Amen. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that said, why spend you money for that that's not bread? Amen. In other words, why are you wasting resources on that that isn't something that is really necessary and needful? Well, that's a whole other message, and you probably wouldn't want to hear it anyway. But anyway, God is good. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. You start seeking Him, and you realize how good He's been. You get to know Him. You'll want to do more for Him. Amen. Than you've ever done in all of your life. You'll be able to keep those commitments when you feel Him close for a season and you hit an altar. You'll be able to walk out that door and walk this thing out in your daily life. Can you say, man, get off the roller coaster, get off the seesaw spiritually, and have a life that levels out. I kind of like to see some gray-haired people in my audience. Some of you, I can see it. Some of you got it, but I can't see it. But I know it's there. Amen. Yeah, go ahead and point at it. Amen. Yeah. Let's have an honest moment. Everybody that's got something to keep it darker than it would be, point it where it is. We had a little bit of honesty there this morning. You know why I like to see some people that are still serving God? Because this is not a wind sprint. This is not a 100-yard dash or a 50-yard dash. This is an endurance race. And they that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. This is about finishing. This is not how fast you are out of the gate. This is whether or not you complete the course. Can you say amen? So we want to run this race how? With patience, which is perseverance, that is set before us. Praise God. Now, if you have your Bibles, and we've turned back with me to Psalm 68 and verse 1. Last Sunday's message continued. This is chapter 2 of that message. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate Him flee before Him. I'm going to read that again. Let God arise and His enemies. Say that with me. His enemies be scattered. It's real important, as we said last week in a quick review, to make your fight God's fight. Do you have the battle belongs to the Lord on there? You probably don't. We don't really have to have it. I may just sing it a cappella. Hallelujah. The battle does belong to the Lord. But the only way it belongs to the Lord, make sure it's His fight, not just your personal fight. One of the problems I have with the new perspective on faith, and you can see I have a lot of issues with it because it doesn't line up with historic classical Christianity. It is new. It's blending something that gives you a lot more control and in over the circumstances of your life. And man loves to have control. If I had a morphine pump and I had surgery and I could push it all I wanted, I'm telling you something, I would experience no pain. I might not recognize you when you come to visit me. I might not know you ever came to see me. I might not know who my wife was, or care for that matter, while I was pumping the morphine in. But if I had a morphine pump that I controlled, and it didn't have something on it to limit, you know, they want you to feel like you're in control, but you're not really in control because you can only push it ever so often. You can sit there and thumb that thing all day. I've visited people in the hospital, one of them suckers, and I've watched them just And it ain't going to do nothing for 10 minutes. So you might as well just quit pushing it till 10 minutes are up. That makes me feel like I'm in control. I went to a dentist one time. And he gave me his finger because he saw I was really scared. I used to get panic stricken at dentist talk. He gave me his finger. And he says, yeah, it ain't good enough anymore. I mean, you know, when I was 35 years old, I wanted to go to the tooth caboose in Plant City where they it is. It's a caboose where the kids come in to children's dentistry. And I'll take me in there and say, go, it won't hurt, darling. Come on. But he said, if it hurts, just squeeze my finger. You know, squeeze my finger. Here. And he started doing something over here, examining something, and going down in the cavity with some little thing to dig out and see how deep it was, see if he needed to fill it or pull it. And he said, if it hurts, just squeeze my finger. And I grabbed his finger first thing, and I put a grip on it. And I thought, boy, if you hit a nerve, that finger's mine. You don't hurt me, I won't hurt you. Let's make a deal. I think it ought to be that way, don't you? That you had some way of hurting them back and say, when you cause me pain, I cause you pain. Amen. They'd be a lot more considerate. Some dentists don't have no time to be compassionate. But what I'm saying is what we want many times is simply to be in control. I want a faith that allows me to control the trial, the length of it, how long I endure anything. I want the kind of faith that lets me control the circumstances of my life so that when the waves get boisterous, I can always say, peace, be still, and get that great calm. I want that. And there's a message out there a lot of people latching on to because we are afraid to trust God. We want to be in control somehow or another to manipulate everything to what we want instead of what God wills. God has a will, and it's way beyond your wants, and the most wonderful experience of our life is getting delivered from that prison of want so that we can find joy in discovering His will. I want everything to be smooth in my life. I know it's not going to be. In this world, Jesus promised, in this world, how many people consider themselves still on planet Earth? You're still attached to this world. How many wave at me if you're still here? See, we got a pretty, you know, there are always people that don't wave and look at me like, you know, camp at a new gate. Listen to me carefully. How many people are in this world? In this world, Jesus taught if He were here today, He would address you and say, in this world. When you get to heaven, it's going to change, but as long as you're in this world, you shall, without a doubt, without exception, you shall have tribulation. But He said, amen, I'm offering you a peace that is not of this world. When He said, but be of good cheer. I want you to cheer up even though you know pressures are going to be brought to your life. Because I have preceded you through this world. And I have overcome it. Literally, I have robbed it of power to harm you if you trust in me exclusively. Amen? I've robbed it of power to harm you. Well, why is it hurting us so bad if He robbed it of power to harm us? Because we simply will not go with the flow long enough for God to be glorified in spite of all the intended evil. If Joseph hadn't followed God through his circumstances, God could have never been glorified in his life, but He did. My beloved brethren, think it not strange. The fiery trial that's come to try you is some strange thing has happened to you. Jesus said, you're not unique when this happens. You're part of the human family that live in a fallen world. You're sons of Adam's fallen race, living in a fallen world. But you have been redeemed and ransomed, and you have become the very sons of God. But you're still living in a fallen world. And believe it or not, you're still living in a faulty body. Amen. I mean, there's a guy hacking and blowing these big nose goblins out of his nose. Amen. And, well, you know, that's church. We don't say boogers in church. We say something more you know, and he's blowing all this stuff out, but he won't confess he has a cold. Because if you don't confess it, he won't get it. Well, he's already got it. You don't blow that stuff out of your nose, amen, unless you've got a cold, unless there's something terribly wrong with you. Can you say amen? I'd rather say I've got a cold. But he was afraid to say I got a cold because then the cold would get him. Well, it's got him. We live in faulty bodies. I went to a meeting in North Carolina on top of this hill where this huge round hotel is that's open on the inside. Phil Driscoll came out one night, played his trumpet before we went to bed, and that the whole interior is like hollow. The rooms are in a circle around the, and you can see all the way up 15 stories or so. Beautiful. Yeah, glass elevator. My wife went with me one time. But I was at this meeting. We were going to have all these healing ministers come for a big convention. And Oral Roberts was going to be the keynote speaker back when he was, really active evangelistically. And we're having all these healing ministers come and talk about divine healing. And when I got there, the premier minister to teach on healing had to cancel. Guess why? His flight was delayed by bad weather. No. No. Something happened in his family, a family crisis. No. He canceled because he had the flu. You see, we think if we just got the anointing or we have the faith, we lose our faultiness of our bodies. Now, we can be healed. And he, I'm sure, prayed to God. And I'm sure God raised him up quickly. But it didn't stop him from experiencing what fallen man experiences, did it? Nobody lives in that state. Honest people will tell you the truth about that. Now, I'm going to tell you something about me. God has been good to me. Ask her. I've missed 4 days of work in almost 11 years. Wow, that's good. Amen. God's been good to me. But I know it's not my great faith in Him that's doing that, and you can build your faith to that level. God did something when He healed me of cancer. He didn't just heal the cancer. He just healed me of, I guess, everything. Amen. And God's been good to me. And I'm not saying that tomorrow I may call for prayer because Brother Venable has this physical need, but my wife can tell you, I go through colds, I go through all kinds of stuff, but I pray and I just push on and God somehow blesses. Amen. I try to use wisdom, but I would rather be at work than be sick. I would rather you hear that, boy, he pulled 6 days this week, he's really tired, and come and preach, than to be laying home bedfast and throwing up and burning up with fever. That's just me. Amen? Well, do I have some great faith? No. Do I have some different kind of favor? No. I've just been blessed. God has blessed me. I know that He has. I know that He answers prayer. But I'm not trying to stay perfect in every way so that I have no inconveniences and nothing to set me back. I'm not trying. That's not the goal of my life. The goal of my life is to glorify Him. Paul said, you get into that, you get deep enough into that, amen, whether I live unto God, whether I die or die unto God, either way, if God lets me live another day and preach, I'll bring Him honor. If He lets me die a martyr's death, I'll honor Him in my death. Whether I live or whether I die, I'm the Lord's. Hallelujah. However it goes, I belong to Him. And He gets the glory from my life. Give Him a hand clap. Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? Everybody wants to be in control. God asks you to trust Him with all of your heart, not lean to your own understanding. Everybody thinks they can build their faith to where they can be in control. There are people that will tell you that. There's books, there's whole sections of books on how to do it. Charismatic. Won't find it in any other section, just crazy-matics. We got to be in control. We got to build our faith to where we manipulate everything in our life. Don't be afraid to let God be in control. He knows what He's doing. He loves you. He has a plan for you. And you can rest in His sovereign, eternal purpose for your life. Can you say amen? You can actually give your problems to Him. The Old Testament puts it this way, cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Many are the afflictions. There it is in the Old Testament, just like Jesus put it in the New Testament. Many are the afflictions. If you can't handle that, where's God going to take you? He might as well just slay you now and take you to heaven. Because in this world, you're going to have these things. Can you say amen? Come on, get used to it. Deal with it, but deal with it spiritually. God's not asking you to be strong. He's asking you in your weakness to give Him some credit for being your God. Amen. Give Him some credit. He's your God. Hallelujah. He's your God when you're on the mountaintop, and He's your God when you're deep in the valley. He doesn't cease from being your God, and you do not cease from being His child. And God can get glory out of fiery furnaces and lion's dens. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah. In this world you shall have tribulation. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Does that mean from them in terms of never going through anything? No, it means whatever that trial form that trial takes, whatever the intended purpose of evil for that trial, whatever is meant for evil, even though it begins to work into your life, God said, I'm able to subdue it to my eternal purpose, my will, and my glory. I can keep you and be glorified in spite of it. I don't have to chain the devil up, and I don't have to take you from it. I can take you through it. Can you say amen? But I need your trust. Unequivocally, I need your trust. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. If you're not trusting Him with whatever you're facing right now, you got it. You got it. It's on you. And it's choking the word from you. Yes. The cares of this life, and there's plenty of them, and other things entering in will do what to the word of God that has the potential to make you so fruitful? To choke it and cause it to become what? Unfruitful. What is an unfruitful Christian life? Well, what is the fruit of the Spirit when He's able to produce it in you? Love, joy, peace. How's your love life? I'll tell you, get thinking about yourself, you ain't got no room for nobody else. It's me and my pain, me and my heartache, me and my heartbreak, me and my problem. And I'm not trying to minimize how bad these things hurt. I'm telling you, if God isn't big enough to pour oil and wine in these deep wounds, He's not the God of Scripture. You need to get to know your God better than that. Can you say, man, my God shall supply. Woo! How much? All of my need, whatever that need may be, according to His riches and glory in Jesus Christ. I can do all things. That means I'm equal to it through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. My greatest knowledge of God never came on a mountaintop. It came in a deep, dark valley. Amen. Where it was just me and God. But thank God it was me and God. Can you say amen? And you and God are a majority no matter where you are in life. Can you say amen? Let God arise. And His enemies, not yours. If you got enemies, make sure you make them His enemies. If you strike back, they're not. The battle is yours. You'll have to fight by yourself. Vengeance is mine, He says. It ain't yours. Amen. Let me read this. This gets exciting to me. This can be so liberating to you because you can't get out of the fact that you live in a fallen world. Yeah. I've often wanted to run away. Yeah. David did. You're in good company if you want to run away. Some people run away right now, not physically, but they're running away through a needle, through a drink, and through a pill. They're trying to escape reality. All of these things are trying to escape reality. David came to a place the pressure was so strong in his life. He said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. Then I would fly away to the wilderness and be at rest. Wouldn't it be great to sprout wings sometime in the middle of your trouble? Hey, amen. I know some of you think you got them, but I mean, you know, just, you know, sprout wings. Hey, amen. Wouldn't it be great to say, you know, I'm not going to argue with you anymore. I'm going to Bok Tower. I'm going to the top of it, and I'm going to light up there. And I'm just going to sit up there in Lake Wales on top of Bok Tower. And I'm just going to sit there for a while in peace where I can't hear your voice or see your face. Can you say amen? Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. You might be thinking of that about your boss. You may be thinking about your spouse. Can you say amen? I don't know what you're thinking. God knows what you're thinking. Can you say amen? But oh, that I had the wings of a dove. Then I would fly away. Amen. To the wilderness, David said. And I would hasten my escape. I would run for the hills from the windy storm and tempest. I would avoid that test and that trial at all costs. If I could just control my own circumstances, my own life, if I could control it, I wouldn't go through it. I'm telling you, I would take these wings and I would flap away. You'd just be seeing me saying bye-bye to all my trials, bye-bye to all my troubles, bye-bye to all my tests. Can you say amen? So people knew he was under pressure, and you know what they said? They said, why don't you flee like a bird to your mountain? You think Satan don't know when you're thinking that way? By the words of your mouth and your attitudes? Now he's gouging him. His enemies say to David in the Psalms, flee as a bird to your mountain. Well, David just said in his heart, I wish I had wings so I could do that. But he went on down in the Psalm, and he said, but as for me, I will trust in the Lord. Whatever the windy storm and tempest is, I'm not going to run from it. I'm going to treat it like I did the giant. Amen. He ran toward the giant, not from it. Amen. And God gave him and Israel a victory. A victory. Amen. And then David responded and said, how say ye unto my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? In other words, Job got pushed. Until his wife pushed him the last straw and said, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job stood up on that and said, I know my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. I will not quit trusting Him even though I don't understand what's happening to me. Can you say amen? It doesn't mean I haven't complained. I have made my complaint very clear. But when all is said and done, He's my God. I'm His child. One of these days, He's going to stand. I got a Redeemer. I have one that's going to ransom me. One day He's going to stand upon the earth. When He stands up, though the skin worms eat my flesh, I'm going to stand up and in my flesh, I'm going to see Him. This is not all there is. There's victory for me no matter what. Can you say amen? If we don't get that attitude, we're trying to face a fallen world in a faulty body, unrealistically. We're trying to control that. That's why there's a teaching about us being little gods and little Jesuses. You are not divine. He's divine. You're the branch. And you're grafted into the vine. And you'd have no life at all if you wasn't strapped into that vine. Can you say amen? Because everything that keeps you alive is coming up through Him. Can you say amen? It all comes from Him. Our life is in you, Jesus. Amen. Can you say amen? Hey, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Can you say amen? He that hath the Son hath life. Can you say? I'm not talking about when you die. Right now, that life is in you and it's in me. That's why death will not conquer us. Wow. Say, He's divine. Say, I'm the branch. Boy, if you'll keep it that way and abide in the vine, because you know everything comes from Him. He's the author and finisher by faith. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the Prince of Peace. He is the healer. He is the counselor. Can you say amen? He, him. Your faith has to be in Him and His faithfulness to who He is. Wow. And what a load it is off of you to give it all to Him. Amen? Better amen than that. What a joy it is to get the load off of you. I didn't say it was off of you yet. I'm saying, won't it be a joy when it gets off of you and it's all on Him? And you go free. Say, Brother Venable, how can that be? There's a peace in Scripture that Jesus talks about. It's a peace that passes all understanding. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but I'm going to give you peace. Not by taking you out, but by giving you supernaturally a comfort within it. I'm going to give you peace that passes all understanding. There is a peace that passes understanding. Can you say amen? He will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is what? Stayed on Him because they trust in Him. That, it's not just thinking about Him. It's looking to Him for everything that you need and trusting Him with everything that you need. In all things, with prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. With thanksgiving, can you say amen? Hallelujah. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep. This is like a fortress. It's a keep. It's an old term, an ancient term for a mighty castle or a fortress with great walls. It's a keep. Amen. That's the word. It will keep. It will mount guard. It will encircle you. Amen. Your mind and your heart. Hallelujah. Peace that passes understanding keeps you from all of the anxiety and all of the agitation and frustration and fear and worry that chokes the word and causes you to become unfruitful. And you need the love, and you need the joy, and you need the peace, and you need the goodness, and you need the kindness, and you need all of these things that He produces in your life. Wow. We went to Jamaica. We stayed at the Tamarine Lodge, way up in the mountains. A big old rooming house. One lady ran it. It wasn't a 5-star hotel. We slept in a twin bed. We were very close during that period. I remember my wife and I drawing very close during that mission trip. But we slept in a twin bed. Yeah. Isn't it amazing? We can't be close enough until we've been married a while. Then we get queen, you know, we could sleep in a twin bed. We're going to be right there together anyway. Amen. But then we get the full size. Then we get the queen size. Then we get the king size. The Tamarine Lodge. I remember way up there in Haiti. I remember a story. And it didn't come from Haiti. We had mosquito nets. But there was all kinds of. And one missionary says, you know, I checked into a room. And it sounded just like that Tamarine Lodge. The difference was, it was down in South America, and the windows were open for the breezes to come in, no air conditioning, nothing like that, and no real lights. They used oil and candles. But and said, you know, she said, I checked into the place, and I looked over on my windowsill in my bedroom, and there on the windowsill looking back at me, said it looked like it was about 18 inches long, big fat, it'd been eating good. You could tell it'd been eating good. A big green lizard. I mean, ugly looking, one of them with the eyes that roll around and look at you. Green lizard, like some people look at me on Sunday when I hit a nerve. It reminds me. Anyway, but big green lizard. And she came screaming down the stairs saying, there's a big green lizard in my bedroom. There's a big green lizard. Somebody come and kill it. There's a big green lizard. And the host says, oh, we put that lizard in every guest room. A lizard like that in every guest room. They live there because there are dangerous spiders. There are dangerous insects that are poisonous and can harm you. But that lizard lives there. And if they come across that windowsill, he's got them. So you can sleep safe tonight because he's got them. Anything that's going to hurt you, he's going to get. And she wrote a book called Learning to Live with Your Lizard. And you know what the lizard was? Some of the trials and tests that we don't want and even fear. But it keeps us in a place of trusting God. And out of weakness, we are made strong. Whew. Glory to God. Somebody give Him praise in this room. Glory to God. Amen. The problem is, Most of us don't want to live without a lizard. Paul had a lizard. Did you know that? He had so many revelations, God gave him a lizard. An emissary from Satan was sent to buffet me. And you know what? God said, you know, I can use that. You've got a big God. He's bigger than your brain. You say, I don't see how God can get glory out of me going through this. That's because you're not trusting Him yet. Come to a place of trust. Amen. It'll change. The view will change. Amen. My beloved brethren. Amen. James begins to talk to these Christians under the gun with great love as his brothers and sisters. And he talks to them about trials. And he talks to them about testing. He talks to them about temptations in terms of great persecution that was coming against them. Amen. And he tells them. He said, listen, let patience, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Can you say amen? And if any man lack wisdom on how trials can work to our good, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally. He tells us things we don't want to hear. That's why we're not open to that part of his wisdom. We want to hear that we can be in control. And then when things get out of control, when in fear, when in doubt, what do? Run in circles, scream and shout. And I know I did not bug your home, and neither did George W. You're not a terrorist threat. But God knows what goes on in there. And when the screaming and shouting starts, God hears it all. And He would love us to be able to trust Him instead of be panic-stricken or fear-driven. Can you say amen? He's a gracious God. He's a good God. He's on the throne. He's Adonai. He's Lord of all. Can you say amen? And there's nothing too hard for Him. Wow. And He loves you and me. Does it mean that you're going to go through something you couldn't handle? Like you've read about somebody else going through? No. I love what one preacher said, and it probably was me. He said, Satan, I forget now, I've said so many great things, you know, whether it was Spurgeon or Moody or me. Amen. But probably it wasn't me. Amen. But he said that Satan turns up the heat, but God controls the thermostat. No temptation has taken you personally, not the whole body of Christ collectively, but you. He knows where you are spiritually. He knows what your faith level is. And He loves you anyway, praise God. Amen. No temptation has overtaken you, but that you, it's personal, are able to bear. Who will with the temptation make a way of escape, that you, it's individual. God knows what I can take, and He knows what I'm not prepared for. And when Satan turns on the heat, God controls the thermostat. When I squeeze his finger, he lets up. Only control I got's holding on to him. Can you say amen? Buddy, I put the squeeze on him a lot of times. But God is good. And he knows just when, amen, the gold is getting pure enough to see himself in it. And then he's going to pull it out of that fire and be glorified. Somebody give him praise in this place. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! How do you know that the heat is enough to burn out the impurities in the gold when you can see your reflection in it? Yeah. It's pure. Wow. When God sees His reflection in us, it means the flesh has been broken down. Self-trust is gone. Self-confidence is gone. We live. We're dead, but yet we're alive. And yet it's no more us that live, but Christ that lives through us. Wow. Let me read you one more thing about Psalm 68. Look at verse 18 of Psalm 68. Wow. The battle is the Lord. Say it with me again. The battle is the Lord. Are you getting anything out of this today? I like verse 18 because it's repeated in the New Testament. Thou hast led captivity. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, for the rebellious, and that the Lord might dwell among them. The Apostle Paul echoes that again in Ephesians 4. A little bit of review. Ephesians 4, 7 through 9. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. See, we were the rebels. Amen. Wherefore he saith, but he's been gracious to rebels, hadn't he? Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Amen. Jesus absolutely conquered death, hell, and the grave for you and me. He descended so that he could come forth a victor, not for himself, but for us. Psalm 68, 1 again, let God arise, his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. Make it his battle, not just your own battle. In the New Testament, it's exactly how they prayed. I got to hurry through this, but this is so exciting to me because it's liberating. It gets the weight off of you so the Word can work in you and you can be free to serve God without all that worry and stuff that makes your face look so funny when you come in on Sunday. Amen. Amen. You get here and you let your guard down. You think, amen, that everybody's looking at me so I can't see anything out there. That I'm just, everybody's a blur. You're no blur. Amen. Your face tells a story. Did you know your face tells a story? It's telling me a story right now. I often look at the faces of preachers at crusades. That there's a keynote speaker and they're all sitting on the platform. And I look at their faces to say, I wonder if they're getting any of this at all. Can you say, man? I mean, these are the faces that brighten up when they walk behind a pulpit. See, you're kind of guarded when you walk up here. You don't want to walk up here like this. Like Nixon resurrected. Can you say, man? The furrowed brow. I am not a crook. But I see these guys sitting there teaching on worship. And then on the other hand, I've seen ministers that went the opposite way. I've seen ministers that quit thinking about the fact that they were ministers and became sheep. I was in a meeting in Atlanta, one of the greatest meetings I was ever in. Amen. And the preacher was up there and he was part of this movement of hyper faith and just name it, claim it. But he got up and the anointing came and he quit talking about the other stuff. Amen. And he started talking about the fear of the Lord. And he started talking about the need to get down before God. Amen. And repent of our sins. And he was talking to clergy. And he said, every clergyman in this room that God is talking to right now, that God is touching right now, he said, I don't care how much money you have, what kind of car you drive, how big your ministry is. That's not what this service is all about. This service is about, are you right with God in your heart? Are you humble before Him? Are you broken before Him? Are you sensitive to His heart? Can you bring His heart to His people the next time you stand in the pulpit? And ministers begin to come out of that audience. Amen. We don't want to hear that message and few have enough backbone to preach it. But ministers begin to pour forward and hit altars. And it wasn't enough to hit altars. They begin to fall on their face, and I was so happy to join a bunch of clergymen down on their face with their nose in a rug that people had walked on all day long seeking the face of God in deep repentance. Yes, Lord. Oh, give him a hand clap, not a patty cake. We carry ourselves with too much confidence in ourselves and not enough confidence in our God. We become strident and proud and we call it faith. And it's pride. And it's not even pride in disguise. You can see it clearly. And you can be sick if you want to, but I ain't being sick. You can be po if you want to, but I ain't being po. The attitude toward hurting people. God wants to bless everybody. Believe me, God cares about your finances. God cares about your physical health. But He knows the only way I can truly address these things is to get your heart set on me. Get you seeking the kingdom. by seeking the King. The kingdom is not a mystical place where there's all kinds of stuff you can get through with your faith. No, the kingdom is the rule and the domain of the King. How do you seek the kingdom? By seeking the one who runs it. The King. It's His domain. Can you say amen? It's where He is in absolute authority, in absolute rule. That's why when you begin your prayer, you don't start just using your faith to get what you want. You say, Thy kingdom come, which is another, and then what follows that? How can His kingdom come? The only way His kingdom can come is only one way. Thy kingdom come, Your absolute rule and sovereign reign. Thy kingdom come, what else? My will be done? No, Thy will be done. We've even been taught it's erroneous to say, Thy will be done in a matter. Honey, it's the greatest thing you can say in prayer. It proves that you're trusting God, that He has a plan, that He is in control, that He has authority in heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come. You become the true Lord of my life. Your will be done. Someone said, truly, no one can say, Thy will be done, or Thy kingdom come, until we say, My kingdom go. And the hardest people want to keep their rulership and claim His lordship, and you can't have both. Somebody's got to bow, and God is not going to bow to your wants, but He will establish His will in and through your life if you will trust Him. His kingdom will come. His will be done. Can you say amen? And discovering His will, amen, and if there's a mountain in the way, you won't doubt in your heart. You can tell that mountain to move because you know God's already set, amen, that is His issue too. It's not just your issue you're trying to get God to look at. It's His issue before you even discovered it. Make it God's issue for the battle. Make it His fight. Glory to God. You know what they said in the New Testament? They said, now, Lord... See, they're going to make it God's fight. They were threatened with death if they preach or teach in the name of Jesus anymore. Here's how they prayed. Lord, behold their threatenings. They did the same thing. They opened that letter before the Lord. Listen to what they're saying. In other words, if this is just our fight, because our ego is bruised, because we are afraid to die for the faith or anything, that's different. But if it's your name, if it's your honor that's on the line, then we want to bring this to you. Then let God arise. Yes. And God did. How did God arise? Amen. Oh, the persecution stayed strong. But let me tell you what God did. The Bible said when they prayed like that, amen, the place wherein they were standing was shaken.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the Word of God with boldness and with great power, gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So what was meant for evil turned out to mighty revival. Hallelujah. Wow. Led captivity captive, literally in the Amplified, said He led a train of vanquished foes. Matthew Henry comments, He conquered those who had conquered us, Satan, sin, and death. Everybody said He conquered those who conquered us. He led captivity captive. Amen. He conquered those who conquered us, Satan, sin, and death. Say it with me. Satan, sin, and death. Christ has conquered in our behalf. The cross of Christ initially seemed a place of terrible defeat, but it became a place of unparalleled victory. For it was at the cross where Satan, God's enemy and ours, suffered a deadly wound. Colossians 2:15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, literally in the cross. The New International made it real clear. It said He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Wow. Led captivity captive. I got to quit, but boy, if you're trying to control your circumstance, you're frustrated right here today. Because you've stood on the word, you've confessed it, you've prayed, and you're still going through something. And God has told you right now to trust Him to take you through it. Think it not strange when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let, everybody say cooperate. Let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man lack wisdom on this matter, let him ask of God, that giveth unto all men liberally and upbraideth not. Now here's a strong warning. Please hear this. We've had a lot of fun, but here's a warning. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Give God credit for who He is. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea. That means whatever the circumstance is in your life, Satan knows. I've got them like a. You know why they put a ring in a bull's nose? You know why there's a ring in a big old bull's nose? So he can be controlled. He's much stronger. He's mightier than the person who holds the rope that's in that ring. But that nose is very sensitive. And you can turn that bull by pulling on that ring. Are you listening to me? Of course, if he comes at you, you've got a problem. Amen. But he can be turned with that ring in his nose. And Satan will actually put a ring in your nose. And you'll be driven and tossed. The wave of the sea has no control. The winds control what happens to the waves. The waves are out of control. The wind determines. Amen. Tossed to and fro. Amen. You'll be like the wave of the sea, tossed to and fro. Let not that man expect to receive anything of God, because you've discredited him. You've said he's not trustworthy. I will worry. I will carry this. I will get down in the valley and stay in it if I choose to. I will not ascribe to God that He's almighty. I will not ascribe to God that He is all-knowing. I will not ascribe to God that He is present. I will not ascribe to Him sovereign authority over heaven and earth. I will not bow to His lordship. I want faith that takes all of these things away from me. Somebody tell me I can have that kind of faith. And I'll follow them into the ditch. Faith is not to manipulate God with. Let me tell you what faith does. Faith allows the predetermined will of God to be done. It doesn't shape it. It doesn't manipulate it. It doesn't bend it. That's why Jesus said, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will. That's how you express lordship. But what? Who will? He will. You say, I want that job. God says that. No, I want you to be over here so you can be a witness over there. And that door closes that you had your faith out for. It had all those benefits. It had the bigger money. But God sends you over here. Can you imagine God having something more in mind than how big your plasma TV is? Isn't it incredible that God works on a higher level than that? Isn't it amazing that God may have something eternal in mind, spiritually important to the kingdom, instead of whether or not you drive, amen, a Humvee or an S10? Huh? You think God could have anything any bigger for you? Or has faith been brought down to such a carnal, earthbound level that the only way we can, their Bible said, let me give you a warning again. The Bible said there are those that suppose that gain is equal to godliness. They equate it. And there's a whole genre of Pentecostalism out there that equates gain with godliness. And you know what the Bible says? Everybody say the Bible. I'm not talking about your TV preacher, and I'm not talking about their take on the Word of God. I'm talking about the Bible, the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It's the only faith. Everything else is a distortion of the true, a pollution of the original, a perversion. Can you say, man, if you add to and you take from, you are perverting something. It's not pure anymore. We need a pure doctrine. We need a revival in America. We don't need more stuff. We're about to go through an economic judgment if we keep putting the material above the spiritual issues in this nation. Can you say, man, when kids are not safe at school and in colleges because people are so deranged and under the influence of evil, not just psychological problems, but demonic control, that they want to kill as many people as they can and kill themselves. Amen. Listen, that nothing nothing materially can address these issues. The only thing can is a Holy Ghost revival where the hearts of men are turned back to God and light shines in this darkness. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise in this place. I want to see a revival, but it's not going to happen as long as we just live for our own convenience. God said, you don't even have to think about what you eat or drink or what you put on if you put the kingdom first. You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to think about it. Take ye no thought means don't even think about it. Use your time, your energy to seek the kingdom and His righteousness. That means being right with God. Hallelujah. And all these things your Father knows that you have need of, He said He'll just add them to you because the kingdom is first in your life. He'll make sure you're clothed. He'll make sure your belly's full. I've never seen the righteous forsaken seed up begging bread. The what? People seeking what? Righteousness. The kingdom and His right. Come on, church. Amen. The righteous have these things added to them, not because they build their faith to get them, because they bow to their God. Can you say amen? One patty cake, somebody give him a good hand clap because they bow to their God. Amen? I love that scripture in the Old Testament. It said, Lord, don't give me too much. I fall into pride. Yeah, don't make me too rich because I might forget you. And don't let me be too poor because I might be tempted to go steal. But give me what's right for me. Isn't that great? Isn't that wisdom? Give me what I can handle and still keep the proper perspective concerning you. You know what he warned him about even riches when he brought him in the land of milk and honey? You know the best way to qualify for possibly being rich is to not give a holy hoot about it. They that would be rich, that becomes the goal of their life, the grand apex of their life, fall into many deceitful sins, hurtful sins and deceitful snares. We see people absolutely self-deceived because their goal is to get more they ever get, and they never get enough, and they're on TV right now hawking some product. They're twisting scripture. We got offerings being attached to things that were old covenant stuff concerning the tabernacle, and you got to send in this offering so they can take it in behind the veil. There ain't no veil. The veil was rent over 2,000 years ago. There is no Old Testament tabernacle. Our body has become the temple of the Holy Ghost. We need to quit. I even read about the catching up. Amen. I heard a preacher preaching the other day, amen, a preacher just prancing on the pulpit and the podium, amen, teaching out of Revelation chapter 4 where Jesus said, come up here. And John is now taken from earth to heaven and looks back down at the earth and sees the great tribulation. Amen. And you know how they preach that scripture? You know how they twisted it? This is just most recent television craziness that tens of thousands of Pentecostals follow. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it's us. It's not my brother, my sister. It's me, oh, Lord. Can you say amen and follow this nonsense? Aren't you afraid God's going to know this is not God's word? And I'm not afraid God will be offended if I don't say this. Can you say amen? He's not going to be offended because I do say it. Amen. Are you criticizing a brother? Honey, I'm not sure about brothers anymore. Amen. I believe brothers are those that contend for the faith. Can you say amen? If they were not of us, they wouldn't have went out from us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. They went out from us because they were not of us to begin with. Can you say, are you questioning these people's salvation? That's between them and God. I am questioning everybody's doctrine. I got a book here. That book is not to be edited. It's not to be added to, and it's not to be taken from. It is the inerrant, holy Word of God. And my Bible says to think it not strange when you're tried. Let God be God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? So the catching up was, you coming to your fullest human potential. God is saying to everybody in the room, come up here. Come up and be the best in your class. Come up and be the best in your company. Come up and be the CEO. Come up higher. Come up higher so you can have a penthouse. Come up higher so you can do this. But God is saying come up higher because He's going to show, amen, a man the things to come concerning the church and the end of the world and the end of all things. That's a little bit better than being the head of your class. And all these poor old Pentecostals out there. Woo, yeah, woo! Revelation. No, it's not. It's absolute distortion of truth. Why? Because they that would be rich, that's their goal. Not to see souls saved, not to feed the hungry, not to clothe the naked. What was so impressive to God about Cornelius? His faith or his almsgiving? His almsgiving. What's almsgiving? What you know what we need again? We need something pure back. My wife mentioned it today. Sometimes there's an old song that triggers back when people served God for the right reasons. It was pure. Oh, by the way, in the persecuted countries, this stuff don't work over there. Because it costs you your job and your life to serve Jesus. And the Christians you find in those countries, they're sincere. Can you say, man, they love Christ more than they love their job, their family. Amen. I remember taking the missionary I told you about, taking him to a Christian retreat from India that came to our church and preached. And I remember him talking about good yeggs and bad yeggs and the yolks going bad while it still looks like it's good. Talking about how you can be wrong on the inside while looking right on the outside till you crack the shell. Amen. And he looked out at the audience and he said, "What kind of yolk are you?" Can you say, man, he was from India and he spoke broken English, and I took him down to Christian retreat because they were one of his supporters in India and he was going to speak, and so I stayed with him till he got through speaking before coming back to Tampa, and I was down there and he took the platform and he said, "I did not come to tell you about the poverty of India. I have not come to tell you about any sacrifice that I have made, although I'm going to tell you what it cost me to follow Christ there." He said, "But I am come to tell you about the riches of Jesus Christ. I do not come for your pity or your sympathy, but I come to declare that no matter where you live on this planet or under any condition, if you have Christ, you are rich beyond your wildest dreams." I like that. He must have known something that a lot of people need to discover. And then he told about being prominent in his career in India because he was an X-ray technician. And he had a good salary until he received Jesus, and they immediately kicked him off the job. He had a loving family until he received Jesus, and they immediately ostracized him. And they said, "No one in the family is to speak to him. He's counted as dead." There's some families that would kill you. Heard a man's testimony the other day. He was thrown from a balcony on 700 Club. They threw him off a four-story balcony at a mall or a parking area. They threw him over and he fell four stories and busted himself up, and he's a paraplegic today. But he was a Muslim that turned to God, and they wanted to kill him and they hired someone to kill him, and he loves Jesus with all of his heart. Can you say, man? And when you can love God under that kind of circumstance and persecution, you got something that some of these new kids on the block, amen, don't know anything about. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Listen to me. I want something better. Amen. I want something bigger. This world is coming to a close. These are the last of the last days. What should be the top shelf message that is being preached today? Get ready. Be ye also ready, for in an hour you think not the Son of Man cometh. If the good men of the house had known what time the thief would come, he would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Be ye ready. We're getting more earthbound and earth-oriented than we've ever been in the history of the Pentecostal movement. We barely touch the spiritual and the eternal. We don't need to know God. We got neat little faith formulas to get everything we need. And we don't have revival in America with some of the largest churches that this land has ever seen. And one of the sponsors of a mega church movement, the Seeker Friendly, recently said, and I quote, "Something is wrong with our system." We've got tens of thousands of people coming. But when they go out, they don't follow Christ. That's because we didn't make disciples unto Jesus. We just got bodies in a building. A disciple is not just one who listens to what his master teaches and tries to obey it. It's becoming what his master is. And it begins with self-denial, not self-fulfillment. The news is, when you deny yourself, that old self, that new self that's in you, can be fulfilled. You can be spiritually fulfilled. And that's where the true happiness comes from. Yeah. The peace and the joy. Yeah. I am so happy with my life. I would love to have 10,000 people to preach to, but I'm happy to be here today. You must be worth it. You must be worth it to God. You think maybe you're worth it to God to have something of substance on Sunday morning right here? You think God is invested in us? Do you think God cares about your trial right now and wants you to trust Him right now? Hallelujah. You think He's got His hand on that thermostat? You're saying, Lord, I can't take no more. And He says, I know what you can take. And believe me, you're not going to be tempted above that you are able. And one of the things that enable you is the words you're receiving right now. Yeah. Come on, I feel faith growing in here. There's a change. I felt it. The atmosphere, the attitude, I feel it. Faith is beginning to come alive in here. Faith in what? Your ability to withstand? No, but God's faithfulness. God's control. God's awesome ability and power. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I would love to finish this. If you want to hear more of this, there's going to be more of it tonight. God is so good. God is so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I've come to show you a different path than the path that the world is walking. I want you to follow me, saith the Lord. And in order to follow me, you must know me. You must know me. Yea, saith God. For when you've seen and you understand and you know, then you can make the right choices. But not until. Come to know me. Deny your old self and take up your cross and follow me. You will not be empty when you do that. You will be filled to the overflow, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give Him praise in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just give Him praise. Stand up. Let's give Him praise in this room. Hallelujah. God is in control. God is in control. God is in control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What would happen if everybody in here, the Word, became fruitful in your life? That you could trust God to the degree that the Word was not choked out. All of the Word that you received. And brother, I know you got a lot of it. Can you say amen? There's a lot of Word flowing in here. I'm not quoting Keats and Shakespeare. I'm quoting Jesus Christ and John and Jeremiah and Hezekiah. Can you say amen? What would happen? What would happen if everybody in here had 30? What would happen if you had 60? What would happen if you had 100-fold from all that you've heard and all that's been sown within you? And why don't we? It's because we're rebels? No, it's because we're warriors. We're fretters. When in fear, when in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. Other things enter in, do what to the Word that can bring forth the fruit? Choke it. We got to quit letting the devil use something to choke what God is sowing into us. Amen. You got to make up your mind to make up your mind. Amen. You got to get up in the morning with your mind. Stay on Jesus. Can you say amen? Stay. Everybody say amen. Stayed on Jesus. Stayed on Jesus. I mean, even after that bad phone call, put it down and say, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord, my Lord.
Give Him some credit. Say, God, I can't handle this. It's all yours. Hallelujah. Then say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And get your focus, hallelujah, on Jesus, who is the what? The author and the finisher of your faith. Hallelujah. Give your kids to Jesus. I've given mine to Him. Amen. Make the battle of the Lord's. Behold, they're threatening. Somebody want to destroy this ministry? Lord, if it's my ministry, then I'm going to fret about it. But if it's yours, then you're going to have to defend it. Amen. I'll stand up for what is true. I will always stand up for what is right. But ultimately, the battle is not mine. Ultimately, the battle is the Lord. Let God arise, and whose enemies? Whose enemies? His enemies be scattered. Make sure, praise God, that your enemies are God's. Halaba kisalaba. Nendadaba sakadamaba. Ladadaba kisalaba. Eh, shalaba kisho. O tadaba sitanana. Lekadaba sata. The battle is not yours. The battle becomes the Lord's. And when the battle is the Lord's, we start winning victories. Can you say amen after victory, after victory, after victory? Giants fall when the battle is not David's. See, David said, this ain't my fight. I don't come to you in the name of the nation of Israel. And I don't come to you in the name, amen, of David, the mighty, a mighty anointed, amen, shepherd boy. I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the Lord, the Lord's army? You come at me with sword and spear, but I come at you in the name of who? In my name, in the name of Israel? No, this was not a national victory or a personal victory. This was a victory for God's purposes for His people. Mashallah Bakisa, quit fighting for your own personal convenience and fight for the kingdom to be honored, the kingdom to be elevated, the kingdom to be God, the king to be glorified. Can you say amen? Lord, if you can be glorified through this trial, then let her rip, but keep me and give me grace. But on the other side, I'm coming out as pure gold, and your name is going to be lifted up, and the devil's going to be defeated. I don't have to worry about that because God is in control. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I feel like I've been chopping wood. I feel like I've been chopping on an old tree of worry, an old tree of doubt, an old tree of fear. Amen. Chopping this morning. Chopping and chopping. Laying the axe, not just to the stalk, but laying the axe to the root of that thing. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When is the church going to just let God be God again? Oh, this is worship. I thought it was a message. This is just worship. Hallelujah. I want you to draw near to God that He might draw near to you right now. Forget about what you need from Him for a few minutes. He cares about that. He's going to address that. Forget about your healing. Forget about your health. Forget about your emotional state. Forget everything else but the fact that you are called to draw near to Him that He might draw near to you. When He draws near to you, there's healing in His wings. When He draws near to you, He'll come with the songs of deliverance. When He draws near to you, amen, the Lord will arise. When the Lord arises, His enemies will be scattered. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise in this room. Hallelujah. Brother number one, let's begin to give Him praise and cry holy once again. Hallelujah. God can change you in a moment in His presence. Bring it up, resonate.